All right, good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The next oral case and the last oral case on our calendar today is A22-1095. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the last case. The next case is A22-0861, Gretchen Ann Plombone versus Brandon John Plombone. And counsel, please correct the pronunciation if I mispronounced your client's name, because there is no respondent appearing today. You will have 15 minutes for your argument and of course no rebuttal. We are recording the argument here today. The recording and audio recording will be available on our website within approximately 24 hours. I'll just remind anyone who's viewing that we don't allow other recordings of our oral arguments unless you have the express prior permission of the Minnesota Court of Appeals. So with that, you can proceed when you're ready, and please identify yourself and the party you represent.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Michelle Olson, and I represent the appellant Brandon Plombone in this matter. This is a case where the parties have virtually created a contract in their dissolution decree, which would allow the parties to modify their parenting time based on a very specific stipulation of moving. Now, when the parties did create that, they understood that their divorce was in flux a little bit because the parties had not fully decided where they wanted to be. Later on, both parties moved to the Mankato area and tried to come up with an agreement. When they could not do that, Mr. Plombone filed a motion with the court to modify his parenting time under the best interest standard, as that was what was contracted. Once the parties did have the motion hearing, the district court refused to modify the parenting time and present findings under the best interest standard, claiming Mr. Plombone was trying to re-litigate the issues and that all the facts were virtually the same. This, we believe, is in error as a matter of law based on the contract, as well as the court did not provide proper findings under the best interest standards as required by law. And we are asking for the court to reverse the district court's decision and remand it down for either further proceedings on an evidentiary hearing or to provide findings for the best interest factors so a proper review can be made. Now, going into the first argument, and really the crux of this issue, is that the district court should have complied with the contract made between the parties in their dissolution decree and allowed the parties to modify parenting time based on the best interest standard and followed through. As the court is aware, dissolution decrees are subject to contract and interpretations of contract. Now, because of that, we look at the contract term itself and make it consistent with the plain and ordinary meaning. If there is some ambiguity in the meaning, then there can be interpretation or other situations. Here, the provision that we are looking at is the conclusion of Law 3E on page 8 of the decree, which cites, should one or both parties move such that they reside closer or farther away from each other, the parties agreed to meet and review the parenting time set forth above and attempt to determine what new parenting time schedule might then be in the best interest of the children. I think it's clear that the parenting time would be altered based on the best interest standard. First, though, the parties must confer and try to do something, but it does not remove then the ability to motion the court for a modification based on the best interest standard. It was designed specifically that way because the parties didn't know what their plan was. They wanted to be divorced at the time that the original decree happened. One, my client, Mr. Plombone, was in Eden Eden Prairie, I believe, and the mother was in Mountain Lake, which was 2 hours distance. That was the only schedule they could have. Then,
Council, I just want to make sure I'm clear on your argument. I thought in your brief you were arguing that that provision required the district court to modify parenting time if one of the parties moved. But as I hear your argument here today, it sounds like it's a little more nuanced. And, you know, when I read the plain language of that provision, I don't think it actually requires modification if there is a move. It simply requires the parties to meet and review and attempt to determine if a new parenting time schedule might be in the best interest of the children.
Your Honor, I think the provision requires the court to make an analysis. And in our further argument, we believe the analysis would equate to a modification. But the fact
that— You're not arguing then that the move by itself requires modification.
I believe it would require the court to make an analysis on and determine if a modification is appropriate. And then we have the subsequent that the parenting time must be reviewed by the parties first, because if they can come to an agreement, then that's what we want to do. But obviously, if parties cannot come to an agreement, then it would be the court's purview, if a motion is filed, to determine if a modification is appropriate, and it would be under the best interest standard for the part for the situation. That is based on the plain language of the provision, but also because neither party at this time in these specific facts were trying to get what we call a significant change, which would, create an issue for potentially the endangerment standard to apply. In this situation, Mr. Plombon was requesting that an equal parenting time schedule be made. And per statute, that in and of itself does not create the triggering of the endangerment statute. In fact, it would potentially just trigger the best interest. And we believe that the parties also wanted it to remain in best interest because they knew that that was their plan. And again, that based on the reading of the provision, best interest is the paramount point. That and it's important to note that neither party actually disagreed that the court should be reviewing this under the best interest standard. While Ms. Plombaum didn't want a modification in and of itself, she didn't disagree with the analysis presented by father to the court. The district court took it upon himself and said that they're relitigating an issue. And in this case, it wasn't being relitigated. It was almost as if there was a kind of a reservation, so to speak, because the parties knew there was going to be a move, and they just weren't sure when and what then would be the appropriate standard. Even if the court were to not find that the standard in and of itself created that requirement, there was a substantial change in circumstances for both parties. I mean, they went from being 2 hours apart to being very close to each other in the same town. And therefore, the ability to have more parenting time was allowed, and the factors of best interest should have applied. The other issue is that Mr. Plombon had employment and other factors which made it more likely that he would remain in the area with the children, and there wouldn't be further, or it would be a more stable environment to set a permanent schedule to, unlike in the prior original decree where the parties were more in flux with their location and what their plan was. In these instances, either way, the best interest factors should be applied, and they weren't. The court specifically said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to make any findings on best interest, because I believe that that the court was not required to make those findings, but we believe that is an error as a matter of law. And as outlined in our briefing, proposed modification.
I mean, in fact, didn't the district court say that they just weren't going to enter written findings on every factor, but that they did in fact consider all of the factors and found that it was in the best interest of the children to maintain the parenting time schedule?
We disagree that the district court is allowed to do that in this type of situation.
But it's not that the district court refused to make best interest findings. Your argument is that they didn't explicitly go through each finding and make written findings, not that they didn't make a best interest finding.
I would disagree. While the district court said there was consideration, there is no showing within the findings itself that that consideration was made. It is more of a blanket statement. Specifically, I understand if each factor isn't said and addressed, that would be one thing. But in this situation, it's just the factors are considered, the facts are similar, and I'm not allowing a relitigation of the issue. So it's not in the best interest. That has no showing that consideration was actually made for the factors that are required by statute. And it also does require, I believe, specific findings. In several cases, there is specifically Chapman v. Chapman. It specifically cites that modifications of parenting time must be supported by best interest findings, and not just the modification itself, but I believe the denial of a modification requires it as well. Again, we are getting into determining what is in the best interest. The statute outlines 12 factors in which must be considered, and just saying I've considered them does not equate to a proper analysis to determine if they have been considered. The fact that it shows that the court is just outright denying it, but not explaining what facts led to it, even if facts should have been detailed, even if there's no heading explaining it, but being able to determine what factors were used or why certain factors would have balanced one way or the other, there's no analysis that can be made based on what has been provided by the district court. And it seems that detailed findings would absolutely be required, as shown in Hansen v. Todnum, which is a Minnesota Supreme Court case from 2018, which specifically held that nothing in the language demonstrates to distinguish between substantial and insubstantial parenting time modifications. And in fact, the court further went on that detailed findings are required. Now, I understand sometimes only relevant findings are needed, and they're only required to present the relevant best interest factors. But here we have nothing. We have no factors that have been.
Don't we have the district court discussing some of the circumstances that existed at the time of the dissolution, or the stipulated judgment and decree, and and then we have the district court saying that nothing has changed except that father moved, and the parties did submit affidavits. Both parties submitted affidavits detailing the best interest factors with regard to this motion to modify parenting time. So it seems like the district court did make some findings, even if the district court didn't go through the specific enumerated factors listed in the statute. But given that, and given that case law suggests that this court may affirm if. Basically, the record suggests that the district court would reach the same conclusion. What purpose would a remand serve in this case?
I believe, Your Honor, that the statements made by the district court are actually errors also in the record. It wasn't just my client who moved, both mother and father moved into the same town. They had the ability to exercise parenting time in a significantly different way. And while the history may be a factor, there is no determination by the district court that the history alone is the sole relevant factor within the 12 enumerated requirements. And by not looking at any other factors, which is what had to have happened based on the district court's findings, then it would be improper for the court, the district court, to not have a further analysis on why that is the sole findings that were made. I, again, understand only relevant factors are required, but there is no statement from the district court that those findings were the only relevant factors. And if that were the case, then the sole factor would be history. That would be it. We don't have any showing on the parents' co-parenting relationship at the time of the motion and the request for modification. We have no determination on the parent, the ability for, and I see my time is up. May I finish?
You may. Go ahead.
Thank you. There was no showing that any of the other 12 factors were ever analyzed, and there's no findings that could fit in any of the other 12 factors. So it seems that only one factor, maybe, and even then we disagree that that actually was analyzed properly, was before the court. So a remand would be appropriate to get a proper analysis and findings, as there may be errors to the record, and we can't even cite to them because we don't know what the district where the district court pulled some of its findings from.
Thank you very much for your argument here today. Any further questions from the panel? All right. Well, seeing none, that completes this oral argument. We appreciate you appearing by Zoom today, and the matter is now submitted. We will issue our decision within the statutory timeframe.
Thank you.